book of the Acts, and we'll read two verses to you. The first verse that we read, the 14th verse of the first chapter, it tells us these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And then verse 1 of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We want to take a little break this morning from our studies in the book of Ruth. And we want to think a little about the prayer meeting of the early church. Thinking of the prayer meeting tonight, it will be appropriate, the special season of prayer, and of course the regular prayer meetings of the church on a Thursday night, the Sabbath day before the services. It's good to have those re-emphasized, the importance of them. But I want you to think of that prayer meeting tonight and others that we will hold a little later in the summer, that we pray for God's blessing upon the summer outreaches among the children. Dr. Cook, in lecturing in the college on the subject of homiletics, always gave the advice that you should take a good text. In that context, he was thinking of the size, a good large text. And that's what we're going to do this morning. The text will be the first 16 chapters, in a sense, of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So I want to emphasize to you the prayer meeting. There's many questions you could think about. Why come to the prayer meeting? What should characterize the prayer meetings of the Church of Jesus Christ? But today we want to think of the question, what will be the results? What will actually happen when God's people meet together unitedly and pray earnestly to the Lord? And if we do that and consider those results, I think it will show to us how important the prayer meeting of the church really is. I've mentioned to you we're going to, in a sense, think of the first 16 chapters of this book. And the reason for that is this. I'd like you to mark it and to take note of it, that in the first 16 chapters of the book of the Acts, there are six prayer meetings that are recorded. And that's very significant, very well-known prayer meetings. And I'd like you just to meditate upon that. If the Lord took time when this book was being written by inspiration, when a servant Luke sat down to record these details, if the Lord saw fit to record for us six church prayer meetings in the opening section of this book, that indicates to us how important, brethren and sisters, the prayer meeting of the church really is. Remember, the Lord doesn't always teach by command. Sometimes he teaches by example. And we have the example of the early church in these six prayer meetings of how important this meeting of the church really is. And every one of these six prayer meetings had a different result, a different outcome. There was a different end to the season of prayer. And that's what we want to study this morning. And in doing that, we will learn this great lesson. We will learn that there are many benefits, there are many blessings, there are many results that flow from the prayer meeting of the church. I'd ask you to remember at the outset what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He was thinking particularly of the Old Testament scriptures, but it applies to all of the Word of God. These things are written for our learning. God wants us to learn from these prayer meetings. And he wants us to see that we can profit greatly from the records that are given to us here in these portions of his Word. So the idea is we're going to look briefly at the six prayer meetings that are recorded. And especially we're going to emphasize and we're going to learn the results of every one of these six prayer meetings. There's no need for you to turn to each, as we will consider them and look at it. But I do encourage you to take time yourself through the week to study each of the prayer meetings yourself. And if you have access to Mr. Spurgeon's sermons, that great 63-volume set of sermons that are recorded of the sermons that he preached, there is a sermon on the prayer meeting that covers a little of this ground, but in much, much greater detail. So I want you to think of the first prayer meeting. Acts 1, verses 14 to 26. We read from verse 14, brings you down to the close of the chapter. And that first prayer meeting teaches you this. The prayer meeting is the place of direction. The believers here had a choice to make. They had a decision to take. And it was a vital decision as far as the future and the well-being of the church was concerned. The decision, of course, was who would replace Judas, the traitor, the one that had fallen from the apostolic office, that had created a vacancy among the 12. And they had to decide who was going to replace Judas Iscariot. Was it going to be Joseph or was it going to be Matthias? They had to consider and weigh up who was the right man. Who should they give this all-important position to? The church at this time needed guidance. They needed direction. And they got that guidance, they got that direction in the prayer meeting of the church. It was in the prayer meeting that the choice was made. And I want to emphasize that to you, brethren and sisters. This is the place of direction. They assembled to pray. All of the members of the church assembled to pray, and they were praying for direction. It's clearly stated there, if you look at the verse 24 of the first chapter. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen." They were praying the Lord would give them clear direction. And it's true for all of us every week, every day. Sometimes it's the case that every hour, decisions have to be made. Choices have to be made. Choices that we have to make that affect ourselves, affect our families. And I want you to know, brethren and sisters, the best place to make those choices, as you learn that from Acts chapter 1, the best place to make those choices is in the prayer meeting of the church. I want to encourage you to come to the prayer meeting, and I want to encourage you to come to pray. And as you come, pray to the Lord in the words of the psalmist, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Show me your will and the way that you ought to go." W.E. Gladstone, one of the great liberal prime ministers of this country of ours in the 19th century, it was well noted by his biographer, John Morley, that there were times when Mr. Gladstone couldn't be found. Maybe a whole day he had disappeared. There were people wanting to see him and to speak with him, but he couldn't be located. And the reason for that was he had set time aside. He had gone off to get alone with the Lord, to seek direction from the Lord, and to seek a word, to seek direction especially from his word. How significant that is. Oh, that the Lord would give us leaders, politicians. We think of all that's going on in our land at the present time. And that is the need of the day, the need of the hour for such people that would put such importance, such priority upon prayer. What a different direction our nation would take if that were the case. So come to the prayer meeting to obtain direction. The second prayer meeting we read into chapter 2, you find it there, chapter 2, verse 1. And that prayer meeting is the place of unction. Do you remember the Savior said when he was here on earth, "Tarry until you be endued with power from on high"? One of the things that those words are teaching us is that you need power to live the Christian life. can't do it in your own strength. Sometimes you think you can, especially when you're young and full of youth and all the energy and the talents of youth. But you can't serve the Lord in your own strength. You need the power of the Lord resting upon you. Where do you get that power? You get it in the prayer meeting. Where did they wait to receive that power? The Savior said, you're to tarry. And that's how you get it, brethren and sisters. There has to be a waiting. There has to be patience, a patient waiting before the Lord until that power comes. Where did they wait? Where did they get the unction, the power of the Holy Ghost, the enduement of power? They got it in the prayer meeting of the church. You know, there's some Christians, some in this church too, and you'll never get that power, not the way you're living, because you're never at the prayer meeting. Never come to the place where that power is found or where that power is poured out upon the church of Jesus Christ. The place where you get the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, is in the prayer meeting of the church. So I want to remind you of that, brethren and sisters. It's the place of unction. Read church history. I trust you do read. I want to encourage you to read as much as you can. Give attendance to reading, as Paul said to Timothy. You read church history. Read the great moves of God in former times. And the reality is this. It is unmistakable. It is clearly established, repeated over and over. Every great revival, every mighty awakening, every move of God can be traced back to the prayer meeting of the church. Not always big prayer meetings. Prayer meetings as big as far as numbers. We want as many as possible to come. It says in the New Testament, many were gathered together to pray. That always encourages the Lord's people. But it's not always in the big prayer meetings where the visitation of God is known. Think of Kells in 1859, just those four men. So the prayer meeting is the place of power. It's the place of unction. The third prayer meeting in the book of Acts is in chapter 4. It was the place of consolation, the place of comfort. That was the time when Peter and John had been arrested. They had been imprisoned. They were threatened by the authorities. They were persecuted by the authorities of those days. And where did they go at such a time? Where did they go for comfort? Well, they went to the prayer meeting. They assembled with the church in the place of prayer. The scriptures actually use a very interesting statement. They went to their own company. Our own company, brethren, our fellowship of company, our group of company, as it were, is among God's people. And that's where they assembled at the place of prayer. That's that they knew is the place where they would get consolation and encouragement in such a time of trouble. The prayer meeting, the place of consolation. Whenever trouble comes in your life, and it will surely come, man is born unto trouble, the Bible says, as the sparks fly upward. Just as naturally, whenever you light a fire and the sparks rise, just every bit as natural, trouble will come. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. The few days that we have upon this earth are days that will be filled with troubles. And when those troubles come, as it was for Peter and John in the early church, and the trials and the problems of life are coming over you at times that you're overwhelmed, the psalmist could say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There are times that life does overwhelm you, all that is taking place. Well, remember, brethren and sisters, the best place for you to be is at the prayer meeting of the church, gathered together with God's people to cast every care upon the Lord. That's the place that you'll find strength. That's the place that you will find the help of God. That's the place that you will draw the strength that you need to face the days ahead and to carry on in the Christian life and in the service of the Master. It's not what the prophet Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You feel weak today? You don't have the strength that you need? You don't know where you're going to get that strength from? Well, it comes from waiting on the Lord, coming to the prayer meetings of the church. Sometimes when troubles come and they arise in somebody's life or in somebody's family, they say, I'll stay at home from the prayer meeting tonight. I'll not go along. I'll just sit here at home on my own. You know, that's really what the devil wants you to do. I know there's sometimes, maybe in the nature of the circumstances, you have to stay at home if something has to be dealt with immediately. But I can assure you, brethren and sisters, when trouble comes, there is no better place, no more important place, no more encouraging place for you to be than in the prayer meeting of the church. The fourth prayer meeting in Acts, it's in chapter 12, that great prayer meeting. And you read of it as the place of protection. You remember the situation was very serious in the early church. It was very grave. James was dead. He had been put to death by the authorities, Herod in particular. Peter was in prison. We could say that he was on death row. His life was in great danger. And what did the church do in those circumstances when the witness was being threatened, when the leaders were being arrested and persecuted and been put to death? The answer is the church held a prayer meeting and they prayed. They prayed for Peter's protection. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They prayed that God would save his life, that God would deliver him. And the Lord answered that prayer in a miraculous manner, in a supernatural way. In fact, he sent an angel to lead Peter out of the prison cell. So the prayer meeting is the place of protection. Can I ask you to think of our missionaries this morning? Those that labor in foreign lands, maybe near to some savage peoples, some savage tribes, away out there in the bush or near the jungle. Some in danger of their life, the persecution that is arising, the terrorism that is taking place. We hear those stories repeatedly in the news. In addition to that, there's the danger of sickness and the danger of disease. Think of believers in lands like China this morning, where they worship in fear of their very lives and the lives of their family. You think of your own family members as they go to school and go to work from day to day and week to week. Today, there is so much danger. Every week almost we hear of shootings, mass shootings and terrorist attacks that they're being repeated over and over. Travel has become very dangerous. We're worried, we're concerned, we're anxious for our loved ones and all that they do. Do you know what that means, what that emphasizes? You need to get to the place of prayer. Like the early church gathered together, many gathering together in the prayer meeting to pray for deliverance, to pray for safety, to pray for protection. So that's another result. The fifth prayer meeting is in the following chapter, Acts 13. And the result there of the time of prayer was expansion, the place of expansion. The church actually, in Acts 13, wasn't just an ordinary season of prayer. It was a season of prayer and fasting. They gave themselves to prayer and to fasting. How important that is, brethren and sisters. I encourage you to do that yourself in your own private times, as well as those organized by the church itself. And as they prayed and fasted, God spoke to the leaders of that early church. It was the great church of Antioch. And God spoke to them to set apart two of their most noted Bible teachers, their most noted servants, Barnabas and Saul. And they were to be set apart for a vital missionary work. Those men were sent forth on the first great missionary journey of the New Testament church. They went, as Paul described it himself, into the regions beyond. You think of Acts 1 to 7, that's the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea. Acts 8 is the gospel in Samaria. And here in Acts 13, what you have is the beginning of the gospel going to the very ends of the earth. Remember that Acts 1 verse 8 is a summary of the whole book. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea Acts 1-7 in Samaria, chapter 8, and then the uttermost ends of the earth. And that's what the remainder of the book contains. The church is extending her borders. She's extending her influence, lengthening her cords and strengthening her stakes. She's advancing. The church is going forward. The church is expanding its ministry and particularly its missionary endeavor. And where does that happen, men and women? Where does that progress in the Church of Christ stem from? It happened in the prayer meeting. It's the place of expansion. Here in this city of Armagh, this congregation, we want to see the work grow, want to see it blessed, want to see it prosper, want to see the testimony go forward, new doors of utterance and opportunity open. We want this work to expand. Well, I ask you to ponder, men and women, where will that growth stem from? Where will it flow from? Where will it come from? When it takes place, it comes from the prayer meeting of the church. I know that in some circles of all sorts of policies and programs and gimmicks that they want to use, that they think will bring in people. And there's new ways of reaching out. We're not decrying that in the slightest. But the reality, men and women, if we follow the pattern and the example of the early church, when they saw great expansion in the testimony of their labors, it came from the prayer meeting. We need to see that. We're emphasizing this morning the importance of prayer, the prayer meeting. Why is that? Well, remember this. If anything's to happen here, anything's to happen in the church, in this city, anything's to happen in this land of ours again, if there's to be any blessing, I want you to know here is where it starts, brethren and sisters. Never miss or overlook the fact that the place the book of Acts begins is in the prayer meeting, not in the great evangelistic meetings. That comes a little later when thousands and thousands were saved. The testimony of that early church started in a humble prayer meeting. 120 members were present. And it is so important to emphasize the great lesson of that. That's where any work for God begins. It is the place of expansion. So the sixth and final prayer meeting, that's the great one in Acts 16. There's a couple of times that prayer is mentioned. Remember that they gathered down by the river where prayer was wont to be made. There was a group of ladies assembled at the riverside. And then later it says, as we went to prayer. So there's a couple of references in Acts 16 to the prayer meetings. Remember that Acts 16 is the first entrance of the gospel into Europe. And the question, men and women, is what was the first Christian service ever done or ever conducted in Europe? I've emphasized what was the first one in the book of Acts. Well, the same lesson holds good when they entered into Europe. Remember Macedonia being a region of Europe. What was the first Christian meeting, the first Christian service the Bible records ever held on the great continent of Europe? It was the prayer meeting. They went down to the river to a place where prayer was wont to be made. It emphasizes again that lesson. When you want to start a work for God, you start it in the place of prayer. And in the prayer meeting, God gave them a seal upon their labors. God gave them a seal upon the fact that they had obeyed his voice and went to the city of Philippi. God gave them their first convert in that great colony. That great colony, city of Philippi. Lydia was saved at the prayer meeting. Do you ever think of that? People saved in the prayer meeting when God's people gathered together to pray. I want you to know what does happen. If you read again some of the great accounts of the revivals, you will read of people saved in the prayer meeting. Mr. Moody tells a great story of a man that came to Christ in one of his prayer meetings as well. But even if they're not saved in the prayer meeting will result then people being saved through the ministry of the church. We don't always see it. We don't always know about it. Sometimes it's years later when we get the report. The Lord doesn't tell us everything that he's doing. We walk by faith and not by sight. But the prayer meeting will result in people being saved. As we meet and gather together, and as we plead with God for souls. And we need to learn to do that, brethren and sisters. Remember the great prayer of Paul, recorded in the book of Romans, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He was thinking of his fellow countrymen. He was looking out upon the nation of Israel, and he had that deep burden in his heart, oh, that they might be saved. And as we look out upon our province today and upon the UK as a whole, and we look across the border into the south, see all of those souls, may the Lord give us that burden again. Our heart's desire and prayer to God for Ulster, for the UK, for Southern Ireland, is that they might be saved. And we need to bring that burden, bring that petition, unitedly and earnestly and persistently before the Lord in the prayer meeting, and pray that our prayer meeting will become the place of salvation, that it will work out, or the outworking of it will be in all of our meetings and in all of our activities, that will result in souls being saved. So here's the six great prayer meetings recorded in the book of Acts. The six great prayer meetings were told about in the early church. The result of one was direction. The result of another was unction. The result of a third was the comfort and consolation in times of trial and tribulation. The result of the fourth was protection, the deliverance of God's servant that he could carry on his ministry for many years to come. The result of the fifth was expansion of the church going forward, especially the missionary activity, new doors being opened. What a journey that was, and led to another two at least afterwards. And then the sixth, the result was salvation. God touched Lydia's heart, opened her heart. She received the word of God, came to Christ, and then opened her home as well to Paul and that missionary team, and was such a help and support to them. I want you to see from that overview of those six prayer meetings, the results, the effect the prayer meeting can have upon the life of the church. This, brethren and sisters, is where the real work, may you never forget that, it's where the real work of the church is done. That is where we really, as a congregation, do business with the Lord. It is easily, without exaggeration today, it is easily the most important meeting of the week. I can tell you today without fear of contradiction, that whatever meetings are held in our country in this incoming week, and there will be some very important meetings, there will be no more important meeting held either in Northern Ireland or in the UK or in Southern Ireland or wherever, no more important meeting held than the meeting we will hold this Thursday night at 8 o'clock, when we gather here to pray. We need to see that, understand that. Pray God will write that in your heart, that you'll see it and grasp it as never before, the importance of that meeting and the effect and the results that that meeting can have, not just upon this church, but upon this city and upon this land. If so many blessings and benefits can be reaped, and we've seen a little of that, if so many blessings and benefits can be reaped, then we should make every effort to be there. We should make every effort to be sure our family is there. At least our family is represented in the prayer meeting. May God help us all, brethren and sisters, to see the great results, the great value of the prayer meeting of the church. We're going to sing 637 as we finish.